on your Green and Gold Vix podcast feed. It is a March Madness Green Bay Every Day. It is an Alex Gravatt running the show Green Bay Every Day, which means obviously we do not have our good friend Alex Stroph. We are instead joined by the one, the only, the incomparable Riley Yauch. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. That was quite the intro. Thank you.
Oh yeah. No, I'm glad to hear you're doing well. So we've got a few things that I want to do. It's called the Friday Fly Around for a reason. We're always a little crazy. But first and foremost, you filled in for Jesse Nelson, the very comparable, very run-of-the-mill hall monitor on Wildy and Tausch this morning. How was that?
Yeah, I thought it went all right. Overall, it was a very good show. However, I was disappointed in my performance for my Whoa Riley segment.
And that surprises me because you've become a fan favorite and a company favorite to fill in when Jesse's out. I would say, as far as cousin subs go, you're the chicken cheddar deluxe.
Ooh, thank you.
Of the cousin subs, little bacon, little cheddar. I love it. But why do you think it didn't go well?
Well, I just was rambling incoherently at one point about my girlfriend's family, which, I had to be stopped by Matt Hamilton. He basically just interrupted and was like, can I call it? Whoa, Riley, like, it's over. And I was sad because I was. It was terrible.
So you met your girlfriend's family, right?
Yes, yes.
I was listening. I overheard. I thought it was very funny.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But you mentioned that you were showing somebody jiu-jitsu moves?
Yes. Yes. That's what I was trying to say.
So were you like throwing grandma around?
No. No. I was demonstrating it very gently on my girlfriend, the chokes and stuff like that. It was gentle. It was gentle. Let me clarify. I wasn't actually trying anything crazy. And then her brothers were just kind of watching.
Yep. Now, here's the thing. Are they like trained in any way, shape, or form?
No.
So like, what are they going to do? Like, that? What, are they going to try and beat you up? You're going to throw them around.
No, that's what I was trying to convey, and I was really trying to do it in a respectful manner.
Trying to convey that you are the dominant one in the room?
No. I was trying to convey that they might have been a little uncomfortable watching that. And I don't know. I just didn't know what to say. I was trying to be respectful and move on, but I couldn't. I just got caught up in my own words, kind of like I am now. It's just, there's no segue.
There's no easy way to say I was choking my girlfriend on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't actually do it. It was consensual.
Pinky. All right.
Yeah,
well,
terrible. It's not the best topic. There's nothing, no way I could save it.
While I'm enjoying hearing you flounder, it's great. I have a much less aggressive plan with my girlfriend this weekend.
Okay, perfect.
As you can see, it is Friday. My team is getting off early today to enjoy March Madness, to go to the Finalysis podcast live in Milwaukee, where we're doing all sorts of cool stuff. I will instead be here producing some shows, the Homer Hour, and that's all good and great, right? Mm-hmm. Wisconsin March Madness kicks off tonight. Very exciting. However, I will not be watching that game.
Oh, what?
I'm really bummed that I'll be missing that game. However, I have something maybe more interesting planned as I am going to the kickoff concert event for the Scottish Country Dance Ball Weekend.
Okay. Is that the name of the event?
I'm not sure if it's the exact name, but it is exactly what it is. It is a weekend of Scottish country dancing. There is a walkthrough that I have to go to because my girlfriend has been learning Scottish country dance for the last couple of months.
What?
She freaking loves it through MSCR, a community here in Madison that organizes all sorts of stuff, including Scottish country dance. Mm-hmm. So she knows what she's doing. All of the other people know what they're doing. And I'm going to be attending.
Oh, no.
And there's a walkthrough that I get to be a part of to kind of learn where I need to be when.
Okay. So you get trained up a little bit.
Yes. And then we are going to spend all morning tomorrow looking for a kilt. Riley, do you know anyone who has a kilt?
I don't. I'm actually a big fan of Irish folk music. I love it. A big fan of the culture. But unfortunately, I couldn't tell you where to get a kilt.
And so you don't know how to do a strass bay.
No, could you tell me what that is?
I not yet. I'm learning it this weekend.
Okay, perfect.
So I will let you know all sorts of good stuff about that. Anyway, so yes, I have a hell of a plan. It sounds like you had a hell of a plan, and you raised some eyebrows. Maybe I'll raise some eyebrows.
Yep.
If you find anybody with a kilt, if you have a kilt, listeners, feel free to tweet at me, at Alex Gravatt. I need a kilt. We've got a 32-inch waist. I figure we're built similarly.
Yeah,
so.
I also have a 30. No. I'm like a 30-31. So even if I had a kilt, it would have been a little snug.
Oh, I would have been willing to be snug. Anyway, fair. So as we talk about football on the Green and Gold Fix podcast feed, I was talking with a buddy who we're just all in, right? Like, he and I have slowly been becoming the sports friends of our friend group. Like, I obviously always have been, but he's really delved into it. And now we're both addicted to March Madness. And so we talked, why doesn't every sport have just an egregiously large tournament, single elimination, everything? And so I went through, and I, of course, made that my reality. So the way I did it was, for the NFL, I took each division, and then whoever has the highest win percentage in that as a division, as a whole, would then be the one seed overall. So there's obviously 8-1 seeds. There's eight divisions, but the NFC or the AFC North had the best overall division record. So the Ravens get the 101. The Lions get the 102 because the NFC North had a really good division overall score as well, because they didn't have a really bad losing team. Both the Bears and the Lions had good teams. So on and so forth, but it made for really interesting conversation, I think.
I believe that.
You've got, in one section of the bracket, the Ravens play the Panthers, the Seahawks play the Falcons, the Bills play the Rams, and the Bengals play the Bucks. And so the Bengals get to go to this postseason event, effectively. They didn't make the postseason this year because they finished last in their division, despite being 500. And they now would get to play the Buccaneers, which is a very winnable game for them, and I just think that that would create a lot of upsets. What do you think? Looking at this bracket that I've set out, the Packers, of course, in the bottom right-hand corner, I believe, they would be playing the Cowboys in the second round, assuming the Cowboys could beat whoever they have.
Yeah, that would be the Tennessee Titans, and obviously those listening can't see this, but Alex Gravatt literally handmade this bracket. He drew it all himself. It's all handwritten. He labeled the seeds. It's sensational. I wish there was a video stream we could like put this up on. It's awesome. But yeah, Packers got the Broncos first round. I know they lost in the regular season. I feel like that's very winnable. Cowboys, Titans. Let's see. Cardinals, Dolphins. Saints, Browns. Let's look at some good matchups.
So I have some experience with bracketology through my time playing Frisbee, actually.
No way.
Because in Club Frisbee, we have a really weird metric on who gets to play who at what time, and then there is a playoff. And in the playoffs, on the team that I was a part of this year called Mousetrap, they're fantastic. If you like Frisbee, you should try and join them. They're pretty good. Anyway, we had to evaluate the bracket that our tournament director made for the postseason to say, hey, we beat this team in the regular season. I think we should be seated above them. X, Y, Z, Z, all that good stuff. And so I've spent a lot of time thinking about brackets, and I think that this is the best way to do it. I know it's not that important, but I think that it could be a lot of fun to have a full 32-team bracket in the NFL. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I think teams and the league would hate it because could theoretically, the Ravens could lose to the Panthers round. Very conceivable, even though the Panthers suck this year. Like, everyone's so good. Like, it would be so even. It would truly be madness, I feel like.
But that's exactly what March Madness is, right? Like, it shouldn't happen. The Ravens, if you know it's a one and done, win and go home, or lose and go home style thing, then the Ravens would bring their A game to smack the Panthers. And they should every time. But then you've got Purdue out there losing as a one seed last year.
Exactly.
And if the Panthers, like something like that could happen, it would be amazing.
Yeah. That would be fantastic. So I love it. I love the idea. I would totally be down to see this replace the current playoff format, but teams would never go for it.
It does kind of do away with the importance of the NFC and AFC, aside from just the fact that there are divisions.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's something that we're all just kind of used to. But, like, for example, the Lions and Chargers matching up in the first round, like, the Lions were a great team this year, but the Chargers have dynamic playmaking potential. They could very conceivably win.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the AFC, NFC would need to be involved? Like, we could have the NFC side of the bracket and the AFC side of the bracket? Or do you think that it's better that it's just kind of willy-nilly matched up according to a formula that I've devised on my own in the last 30 minutes instead of eating lunch?
Yeah, I think that could be fun if you want to keep the conference distinctions. And it would also really, as a whole, kind of do away with the importance of the regular season. Because you can be like, oh, we lost 15 games, but hey, we're still in the tournament. We still got a chance. So maybe if you cut it down to, I mean, I want to say 16 teams, but isn't it at 14 teams?
Yeah,
right,
it's
now?
At 14,
yeah,
right now.
So that would be about what we have currently. So I guess that would be a big con to it if you're a proponent of the regular season. However, it still sounds fun.
What I love is, like, yes, the Chiefs ended up having to play a road playoff game this year, I think. Right?
Yeah, that is like a huge deal. Patrick Mahomes never played on the road before
How
in the playoffs.
How was he going to do? And he did just
And then they won the Super Bowl.
So this does put him, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, into a second seed scenario because the rest of the AFC North kind of stunk. And then they would have to go on the road. I think that it adds some validity to trying to bolster your division rivals, which is mm-hmm. really cool, because that's the Packers suddenly, instead of being, despite being the seven seed, and they would have had to play, the Cowboys, which were a really great team. Obviously, they went on to win that game. This gives them a chance to warm up in the playoffs against a team like the Broncos, because their division as a whole was good. I don't know. I think that it's interesting.
Yeah, it definitely helps you maybe not hate your rivals quite as much. Maybe you're rooting for the Vikings in their last few games of the season, as long as you're not playing them. Or I guess the middle of the season, you're like, hey, I hope the Lions knock off the Patriots today or something like that. So it could maybe quell some animosity. But again, Yeah. People may not like that, though. You love to hate people.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to throw to something that happened on Wildy and Tash today. I drove in late because I've been dog sitting for my mom's dog, and lovely, lovely animal. I mean, mm-hmm. of the creatures I've ever met, S tier top one, like, will not do anything wrong. I haven't heard her bark in like 3 years.
Wow.
She's just lovely and docile. Nice. It's effectively having a cat who's a little bit more loving and dopey like a dog, which is great. Anyway, she woke up. She threw up a couple times, so I was a little worried. I stayed at home for an hour or so, which meant I got to listen on my drive in to Wildy and Tausch. Now, on Wildy and Tausch, you guys were talking about Mark Chmura
mm-hmm.
and what he was saying about how he really does believe that the Green Bay Packers under Jordan Love are going to win two Super Bowls before he leaves. One in the next 2 to 3 years, I think he said, and then mm-hmm. another one down the road. Now, what did you think of that?
Yeah, I think the guys were saying it was a little overly optimistic, but
it's really hard to win a Super Bowl.
It is. It is incredibly hard to win a Super Bowl. And Rob Demasi, he came on later and he agreed. And his wise insight was that it's really effing hard to mm-hmm. win a Super Bowl. And I agree, but I don't disagree with Chewy. I think he made some very valid points, and I think the window is wide open for Jordan Love and the Packers right now. They made it all the way to the divisional round last year when no one was expecting them to it. Again, I also understand the point of view where now you're not going to shock anyone anymore. You've seen the pitcher a few times. You know what he throws. You're going to get him the third or fourth time through the order a lot better than you would through the first. But Jordan Love's going to improve too. The team around him, you could say, is arguably better than the one last year. The receivers are going to develop with him. You got Josh Jacobs now. I'm excited. Xavier McKinney in the secondary. Like, I think this is a better Packers team objectively. And yeah, I think they could definitely win a couple Super Bowls during Jordan Love's tenure.
It is a very young team, and I think with that, the problem is what you love about having a young team is that you don't have to worry about salary cap. And the Packers don't, they've cut and moved away from a lot of their big name older players who have sucked up a lot of that salary cap. But because of that, the next 2 years, when you really are in the best spot for salary cap, you have to pay this year, I think it's $50 million to David Bakhtiari and Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones, which, you know, that's why I kind of hated moving on from Aaron Jones in some ways, but I get it. It's good. I know. Anyway, and so that window gets cloudier. It's not that the window's not there. It's not that the window's not open, but maybe the drapes are in the way, you know, with that extra money. Because what you love to be able to do is take that $50 million. That's
a lot of money.
Game-changing players that you could have. And even if you were at the NFL average, which is, I think, much closer to 20, like, that's still $30 million that you can play with. And it stinks because that window where you have a young team, no one's being paid, suddenly becomes a lot smaller because you have to deal with all of that. Now, do you think that the Packers would be more or less likely to make a Super Bowl run in a system where it is a full 32-team bracket or in the current, you know, 7-seed in the NFC style thing?
Yeah, I think they're honestly less likely to make a Super Bowl in your style of March Madness bracket.
Just because of more games?
Just more games. It's already insanely hard to make the Super Bowl. You have to get to the playoffs. Then you say you're a wild card team, like the Packers were the 7th seed. You got to win your wild card game. You got to win the division round. You got to win your conference championship. And then you have to win the Super Bowl. You got to win 4 games. How many? Is it just 5 games, technically, I guess, if you make it? Or is it still 4?
So the Packers win, play the Cowboys, they'd win again, probably play the Jaguars, and then they'd play the Lions, and then they'd play the championship.
So game. I guess so it is still 4 games.
It's the same amount.
It's the same amount of games.
Everyone's involved.
But even then you can make the argument then maybe your first game's easier. I might, now that I know there's only 4 games, my mind might be changing a little bit, because they'd have a gimme first round, they'd have the Cowboys the second round, so beat up on them again, then you're essentially in the conference championship game against the Jaguars, you said?
Yeah,
theoretically, if we're going chalk.
Because you'd go Broncos, Cowboys, Jaguars, Lions, championship. So there's
one
game.
So there's one extra game. Okay. So then, yeah, by strictly numbers, I do think it'd be harder for them to win in that bracket style.
That's fair. But the thing that I love about the bracket is specifically the way that I've seeded it is that you have, you know, the Packers were the 7th seed. So like they almost didn't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. People forget that. Now they can drop a few games in the regular season. Maybe, you know, maybe there's injuries, maybe there's something that comes up, and they only win 7 games. Or, for example, last year, the Seahawks win one more game, and the Packers aren't in the playoffs, and we're having an entirely different conversation despite the exact same outcome in every other game.
Mm-hmm.
If the Seahawks win one, the Packers aren't in, and that's not lost on me. So I think that this would give them more shots at it, and if Jordan Love is as good as we think he is, then the fun of being in the tournament is there. I don't know. I think that it's really cool, a really cool idea. Obviously, it'll never happen.
Yeah.
But so that's what my hyperfixation has been today.
Understandable. It's that time of year.
You got anything? You got anything that you're dying to get off your chest about the Packers?
About the Packers? No, not really. I'll be honest. I'm sort of by the season fan, so I understand, like, producing Wildy and Tausch, that we're still talking about the Packers in the middle of March, and sort of this day, most shows, you talk about the Packers more often than any other sport, which I've noticed being an ESPN Madison teammate. But typically, right now, I'm all in on Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball.
Really?
I'm all about it right now. And then Wisconsin wrestling, they're going right now. I got some flack on the show today for that, too. We got the women's Frozen Four. I'm on the Badgers right now. However, once basketball season, and I guess subsequently wrestling season, that'll end after this weekend. But once that's over, then I'm on to the Brewers.
Yeah, you're a big Brewer guy.
I'm a big Brewers guy. Not too many baseball fans in this offense. But then I'm on to the Brewers. And then if there's any big training camp news, then I'm on to the Packers. Or I'll pay attention, keep like one eye on it. But I'm not to the Packers until we get to like August, September.
You never mentioned the Bucks.
No, I didn't mention the Bucks. I mean, not intentional whatsoever. Mm. I forgot about the Bucks. The Bucks are probably fourth on like my Wisconsin sports fandom list. Tiered be Badgers, Brewers, Packers, Bucks.
Tough.
So we got Bucks basketball. They might win another ship this year. Would make me very happy. But I'd much rather see a Wisconsin national championship, a Brewers World Series, or a Packers Super Bowl.
All right, well, I'm looking at it, and Marquette is off to a hot start. Are you? Because the game's on behind us in the studio.
I've been tuning
Western
in.
Kentucky just three turnovers in a row. Are you a big Marquette fan, or do you hate Marquette?
No, I hate Marquette.
That's understandable. So, as you just said, that Packers are your third favorite team in Wisconsin. What's your Twitter handle?
Twitter handle, at Riley Yauch. It's just my name. Jason Wilde, he got on me for doing this to him. R-I-L-E-Y-J-A-U-C-H. That's it.
All right, you can send him hate on Twitter.
Yeah, go for
Riley
it.
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter. And let me know if this bracket thing is the dumbest idea you've ever heard. At Alex Gravatt. It's Green Bay every day. We'll be back with you on Monday. The original cast, I hope, will be back together. Alex and Alex on your Green and Gold Fix podcast.